So, Rabbi Sai, we start off having to get Parsha B'Shalach with the words of the Heilig Gemara Nayim and the Rebbe. After the sweetening of the water in Mara, Zokt, the Torah Akdoisha, Vayomer, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Im Shamoya Tishma L'Koyla D'Noy L'Hecha. If you listen to the voice of Hashem, your God, Vayashor Beinov Ta'aseh, and you do what's straight and proper in Hashem's eyes, Vazan Tola Mitzvah Yisav, you'll give ear to his mitzvahs, Vishamarta Kol Chukov, Kolamach L'Shar Santi, Mitzrayim Li'osam Alecha, Kiniyad Noy Refecha. Then Hashem promises not to send any of the Shbakas of Mitzrayim. Hashem will be our doctor. So there's many beautiful things here in the morning Nayim in Heindiga Parsha, but I will stick to one or two in this week's Parsha. And he says a Meridik Ishtikal Torah about the Koyach of Shmiya, the Koyach of hearing, the power of listening carefully. Chazal say on this, Shamoya Tishma, Im Shamoya B'yoshon Tishma B'chodesh. If you listen to the old, Shamoya Tishma, it's a double lashon. Im Shemaya, if you listen to the past, to the old stuff, you'll be able to hear the new stuff. He says you should know that when you hear Divrei Torah, it makes a roshim in your mind, and Divrei Torah leave an impact on your brain, and even if later on you forget, this is very encouraging words. A lot of times we go to a shir, and we forget what we learned. It's very discouraging. Probably we've forgotten most of the things we've learned in our lifetime. So it's very discouraging. Because where's the Torah? What do they accomplish? Waste of my time. Nishtazoi. Because every time we learn, the words engrave themselves in our brain. And even if we're not zoicha, that we actually remember, we have recall to actually remember the exact words, it's not gone. No way. The impact and the impression is still there. And it's not just I'm there. Because there's an impression, therefore we have the ability to learn new things. So it's very nice. It's a lot to think about. It's very nice to remember the old stuff, but maybe that's not really the purpose of learning. If you can remember, it's very good. But if you don't remember, it's not a waste at all, because it prepared you and it made you a kli. It dug into your brain that in the second time, your brain is more of a receptacle, able to hear the second time. You hear it better. Maybe you'll forget the second time too. Maybe you'll remember it better. It could very well be. He doesn't elaborate as much. Doesn't elaborate that much, but. Perhaps when you hear something the second time, maybe you will remember it. Maybe the first time the impact was so minimal, that's why you forgot it, because it's just been a scratch on your brain. But the second time, now that your brain has been scratched, and now that there is impact, the second time you'll retain more. It won't run off so quickly. And the third time. So there's always a reshimu. It's very encouraging. Im Shamaya Tishma. If you heard, you'll hear in the future. So, it's never gone and gone. Some. Now it says by Shlomo Melech, "Izeng v'chiker v'tikein m'shalom harbe." Says a pasuk in Koheles that Izeng, he listened with his ears, and was chiker, he examined and he searched, and he tikein m'shalom harbe. He made many parables. He made many illustrations of Torah concepts. Chazal says he made us daim l'Torah. The Gemara says in Ervin, Shlomo Melech made handles to the Torah. The handles of a pot. This handle over here, perfect. The handle of this mug, this handle looks mamish, what does it look like? An ear. It's mamish like an ear. It fits right over my ear. Because, so there's a gavaltig of mashal. So the mamish handles, why do we have a handle on my mug? Why is your handle on my pot? A pot is really pashut because it's too hot. The pot is too hot, wants to have handles. Gotta have something to hold on to it. So too, before Shlomo Melech's time, Yidden could hold on to the Torah. Shlomo Melech made ears to the Torah. He made handles to the Torah. But nevertheless, even though the word Aznayim, Izein, it says Izein v'chiker, literally the word Aznayim means an ear. That's one of the same. Because the real handle of the Torah, this is the point the Mori Nayim wants to get across, even though it calls the Sefer Mori Nayim, Yismach Leiv, but the Mori Nayim wants to make a point that there's a very fascinating question we could ask, What is more important? The power of shmiyah, of hearing, or the power of seeing? For a yid to be kind of Torah, for a yid to acquire Torah, what is more important? The ability to hear or the ability to see? And Mor Naim says the ikur is hearing. Hearing, koich shmiyah. It's a long shmuz, I'm not going to elaborate, that we could elaborate a lot on this tonight, but I have many other things to learn with you tonight. But I want to learn this shtickel. He says, therefore, Shlomo HaMelech, he says, the Torah is before Shlomo HaMelech. Until Shlomo HaMelech, you don't want to hire Madrega, and they can hear the Torah without the slapshus, without illustrations from the physical world. It wasn't necessary. By the time Shlomo HaMelech, they fell from their Madrega, and so they had to hear it better, so they needed stories, parables, mishalim, allegories, illustrations in everyday life. To I was listening to the way here tonight to Maariva. The only time I listen to the radio is to hear the weather report. Before I got the weather report, I got two commercials. Every commercial is mamish divrei Torah. Commercial mamish tekula Torah. First commercial was for Barracuda firewalls. Protect your computer. Firewalls. Watch out. There's spam out there. There's spies out there. The people want to break in and compromise the confidentiality and the privacy of your computer. Watch out. They're going to get in there. They're going to ruin it. Get yourself a firewall. That's a repushit. That's an absolute mushel. So the Yetzer, the Yetzer is the fire. And he wants to get into our brains and compromise our brains and poison us with a virus, with tumah and other things. You have to build a firewall to protect yourself, for the Yetzer is always trying to infiltrate and compromise the Kedusha and the confidentiality of what's going on inside. He knows exactly what's going on inside our brains. He's dangerous. One mushel. So if you don't believe that the Yetzer is dangerous, see what goes on in the computer, how dangerous one little virus is, can destroy everything. And the next breath, another commercial, two commercials back to back. Next commercial was for TomTom. TomTom GPS. You're lost. Nebuch. You know what to do. You're in your car. You know where to go. So don't get an expensive GPS, a global positioning system. Get TomTom, and TomTom will talk to you and guide you until you get to your, hello, you've arrived at your destination. So what's TomTom? TomTom is mamash mashal to the Shechina. So it looks like you walk to your house, I'm all alone, oyvei, it's a long gloomy day, I have so many problems, so many obstacles, so many challenges today, how am I going to get through the day? Vastiyach, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go. Don't worry. There's a TomTom system. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is watching you. There's a GPS. There's a godly positioning system called Ruach HaKodesh. Every year there's Ruach HaKodesh. If you want it, if you know you have it, you want it, you can ask for Siyata Deshmaya. You got to talk to the positioning system. You just can't get them. You just say, hello, where I want to go. Just tell Rebbeinu Shlomo where you want to go. Rebbeinu Shlomo, please guide me today. Rebbeinu Shlomo, let me do your Ratzon. If this is your Ratzon, you should get there. Please guide me. Give me Siyata Deshmaya. Shem Necheni Bezberi Tzedek. Hashem, guide me. Hashem, show me the way. Please, guide me. Hey, Ligabah Shefer. And you get what you want. You have a global positioning system. So, everything in life can be a shtickle. Every commercial is a mashal to avoid this abayri. So, before Shlomo HaMelech, they didn't need such prust mashalim. They didn't have to listen to the radio. Shlomo HaMelech, came to my dragon. It's been downhill since then. Everyone's looking for everyday mashalim, so the ear should hear it. So again, when I tell you, I'm skipping most of what the shtickel is here, I never do justice to the Heilig Gemara Nayim, because there's so much here that came, if I would tell you every word he says, it would be impossible. But bottom line is, he says that l'sakin, if you want to misakin yourself, you have to be magbir chush hashmiya, kuchush hashmiya ilay b'yayse maila mechushariya. The main thing is the izain, you have to work in your hearing. Hearing is much more chushav than your seeing. And there he says, Asuma, a blind person, Rahman al-Islam, who can't see, his koyach hashmi is much stronger. And he, in many ways, he has a certain advantage because he can hear better than seeing. And he says, the main thing is, though, that if a person works on his koyach hashmiya, yag b'chush hashmiya vazla yirev l'yachmai. If you have a problem with chemda, everything you see you want. If you have a problem with your eyes, like Shimshon, he went there with his eyes, he's looking. The only way to do it, the only way to undermine your koyach ariyah, that your vision, everything you see, you want. You have oven like sachmon all the time. You want someone's house, someone's wife, someone's children, someone's money. Yeah, the money you want. the house you want, the car you want, the job you want, yah yah, the flower vacation you want. So when you see somebody else taking JetBlue, and you're stuck over here in the blues, and he's JetBluing down to sunshine, to the land of our fathers and mothers down there, so your eyes are looking. So you come to a shir, and you work in your Kayach HaShmiah, and the schus of your Kayach HaShmiah, your re'iyah will not undermine you. That's the pshat. Shemaya b'yashon, tishma b'chadosh. Because the right and left, you'll be a kli kibul. And now you stand, now listening, this is beautiful. That's pshat in the pasuk. V'ayom shemaya tishma. If you listen in the past, you'll hear in the future better. But v'ayter, and then, v'ayom shemaya tishma l'koyla noy l'hecha, then, v'ayosher be'enav tasa, then you can follow your eyes. You can only follow your eyes if they have the global positioning system of your ears. If you're filled with what you, if you have shmiah, you listen to your Bayim, you listen to the Rebbeinu Shlom, you listen to the Ruach HaKodesh inside of you, then you can trust your eyes. The eyes alone are dangerous! The eyes alone are a loose cannon. But you have Shemaya Tishma. Even if you forget the exact lesson, but leave a Reishma on you, then you can trust your eyes. Then, Hayosh Ben Atasa. Then you can trust your eyes. Sigit, Gevaltik, ah, Mosik Mitzvash. Then it's good. Then the chush hashmi will be magbra and the koyach ariya, and then you can trust even the chush ariya. Then the morinayim, just again, I'm telling you, only you could say a mazleg, it's like icebergs. 1/8 is above the surface. I'm leaving the 7/8 underneath the surface. But he says, he also has a hoshtikal over here about the mon. Maybe I'll go through on Shabbos a little bit. But he speaks about the idea that every day of the week is connected to a different midah. The mon's on Shabbos, it's one kind of midah. And on page Kuf Samach Tes over here in the Heilig Gemara Nayim. So he says that Tzaddikim knew the midah of every day of the week, of Adavais Talamidas and Yedin Tuk. And he says his Rebbe, Moivir Rebbe, the Mezritcha Magid, there was Noyig every day, Mefana Liba Milimuda Mikolasokim. Now the Mezritcha Magid was a big Lamdan. And I realized that by grace of Rebbe's grace of Tzaddikim, there was. The first thing was Shulchan Aruch, the first thing was Gan Shas, Bavli Yerushalmi, would reshine them as Shulchan Aruch. That's Pashat. They were beyond that though. They didn't talk about that. That's Pashat. The Mezritcha Magid was a Talmud Mufik of the Pnei Yeshua. Who's a bigger Lamed than the Pnei Yeshua? First he learned the Nigla by the Pnei Yeshua. Then he went right, he went to the Baal Shem, to the Finister. So he says, my Rebbe, the Mezritcha Magid, every day he learned all day. But he's been fine, he took himself away from his learning, and for everything else, for La'ayin Shah, an hour or two every day he learned Musar to work on a certain Midah. Because every day of the week is Masugal for a certain Midah. Musar for 2 hours. It's gone, that's fine. So the Chassidish Rebbe said, with them is a Bali Musar. The Rishon Lezion would have loved them. They were full of Musar. And therefore he says, a person, yes, you do that. Achin Isbara, Esle, Tzalula, Gemura. Until he finally cleaned out and refined every midah toiva, it was klor by him. And he worked on his midas, he worked on his personality, he worked on his character. Because Torah without good midas is nothing. It's like, again, it's like having beautiful, delicious food on a filthy plate. It's like a filthy plate. It's filthy. It's contaminated. It's like the best computer program is attacked by viruses all the time. The virus will mess it all up. What's not doing Torah without firewalls? If you don't have firewalls to protect yourself against Midas and the Yetzara, the virus will kill everything. It's gone. You get lost. See, my Rebbe used to do that every day. And on Shabbos Kodesh, for sure. Shabbos Kodesh. And he says another thing you should know, though, that sometimes the person, the Zohar Ba'adam, he ends up the parasha saying, sometimes the Zohar Ba'adam, Cheshik Lavoid, avoid the Tamil Spal. Sometimes from no, sometimes you go to daven this up. So Chapa Mincha, Chapa Meirev. Sometimes, oh, you just can't wait to daven. Oh, you schmack. Every word, mamish, is like Moin the Margolius. Every word is like counting. Sometimes you learn, you daven. Oh, you schmack. Vishtapas the Nefesh. And the Shmonesh just goes and goes and goes. And mamish feels so close to the Rabbanu Shalom. Where does it come from? He says, Hu machmish at tzaddik shemispal v'mala doyrei v'vachla yinatek atzmai mehem v'machshavtei v'hobin. So if you want to know, it's your zoicha that if a person zoicha that he has a Rebbe and the Rebbe is the tzaddik, so the schus that the tzaddik at that moment who you're dovik in has a big aliyah on the shama at that moment, then you'll be zoicha that you too should go up. When the Rebbe's up, you're up. So sometimes you don't even know where it's coming from. But the schus, the zeichet, to be close to it, Adam Kaddish, Adam Agav Rabbah, Helig Yid, and that Yid has a Gavaltig Eisrotzen, after he's working on himself, and when they're holding by working like he does, but the fact that you appreciate what he's doing, and you're Davik, and this Tzaddik, you'll also have an Aliyah in that moment. And you know where it comes from, this is where it's coming from. Adkan, what's the Helig Gemoyen Lion? Now, Rabbi, so we turn to the Kedusha's Lady. Ooh, the Kedusha's Lady is awesome. But on Parv Shalach, again, I'm not such a big bucky, but Parv Shalach, the Kedush Levi is awesome, Shavosim. It's awesome. It's not. Again, I wish I'd go through every shtick with you. Just ignore my name. We just gave you a mashahu. But Kedush Levi here is, you know, and the more you learn these forum, you'll see the Lashinas. You can tell the difference. There's another Sefer, maybe I'll get to tonight, another Sefer, important Sefer. But you can see, Mamish, that by the Moinayim, every word is like special. Every single word. Because maybe also, it's written in such a way, like every word is special. And this form is also, but it's just not, I just tell you the feeling that the bigger they are, the bigger the Rebbe was, the more every single word has such a power. Every word is geklib and every word is selected. Now, let me see, I'll be zeichet a few things in the Kedusha's Levi today. First tickle. Right in the beginning of the parasha, Vayisa Malach Elokim Ahoylech Lifnei Machne Yisrael V'yamim Achareim. So it says in the beginning of the parasha that when Mitzrayim is running after the Yidden by Yamsuf, so it says in the pasuk that originally the Malach Elokim was going in front of Machne Yisrael, and now to be like a firewall to protect us from the Mitzrayim, will go behind us. So state in pasuk in. It's state in Pasuk, so state in Pasuk, Yutes, okay, Vayasa, Vayisa, Malach Elohim, Holuch, Neam Machni, so, the Malach Elohim, who was in front of the Yidden, the Yidden Machareim went behind them, Vayisa, Amud Onan, Mifneam, Vayam Machareim, and Amud Onan too, the pillar of cloud that was in front of Klai Yisrael, in front of the Machni Yisrael, guiding them, now went behind them to protect them from the attacking Mitzrayim from behind. What's the shot? So mainly understand why the Amadon had to go behind to protect them, make a smoke stream. What's up is the Malach? Zog the Helig of Kedushas Levi, you know what? Because you know, Be'etzim, who's bigger? Who's higher? A mensch or a Malach? Who's bigger? No, a Malach. Be'etzim, a Malach is higher. Because they're much holier. Unless a Yid works on himself. When a Yid is zeichet to realize how much Hashem loves him, when a Yid has realized how gets closer to the Baruch Shalom, a Yid has the potential to be higher than the Malach. No, he's not born better than the Malach, Moshe Grossman. When you can't have a mother's stomach, you're not bigger than the Malach. The Malach is much bigger than you. And you can go your whole life like that. But you have the potential to be bigger than the Malach. That's the shot. So originally, when the Yid left Mitzrayim, so the Malach went in front of them. They were in front because they're a high madrega. But by Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Yidden started now diving to the Bajnam, and they realized they're in danger. And they started getting closer to the Bajnam, because the best way to get closer to the Bajnam is when you're in danger. When you're in danger, you get getting closer to the Bajnam. So then, the Malach went behind them, and they go in front of the Malach, because they came to Harmadrega. I said this actually Friday night. He said in the Pshat of the Pasuk. Right? So it says in Kapitel Chav Gimel, the 23rd Psalm. So Ramat of Pagamansky, great tzaddik and chassid in the Litvish Welt, one of the rebbeim of my Rebbe, Rav Gifter, Zeche Tzaddik Levracha, noted that in the famous Kapitel Chav Gimel, Mizmor David, the Dani Roy Leyasar, says, B'nai Zdeshe Yar, B'tzeini, Amei Menuchis Na'aleini. We speak about Hashem in the third person, right? He lays me down on green pastures, He leads me behind still waters. So I'm speaking by Hashem in the third person. Then we go to second person. Gam kielich begeitz al maves. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, lo irera ki ata imadi. Because you are with me. And you speak to Hashem in the second person. You're right here. First track. You start the capital, right? Benazdeshi arbitzeni he, not you he. He guides me by still waters, right? And then suddenly, shift techa, umishan techa, your stick and your staff, Hemi Nachman Yudel, comfort me. Tarek Lefonei Shulchan, you, Ata. What happened? So he says, that's the chilek. When things are going good for a Yid, you're not so close to Hashem. It's He. It's when you go through the valley, the shadow of death, you're in big tzaras, in big danger, that's when you're closest to Hashem. So it's Gam Ki Elevate, some of us, you know why? Then Atoy Modi. You want to get close to God? Get yourself in trouble. When it's going good, you think you want a good life. See, it's tzaddikim didn't mind being in trouble. It's better that way. I get closer to Hashem. It's a trade-off. It's what do you want most in life? Peace of mind or closest to Hashem? Tzaddik says, I don't want peace of mind. Let the troubles roll on. I want to go to the valley of the shadow of death. And I'll tell you, Madi, that Hashem is with me. I'll tell you, Madi. Gewalt. So the Yidden here, when they were talking big danger, they got closer to the Rabbi Shalom. So before the danger of Paro, the Malach was in front of the Yidden. The Malach is higher than the Jews. And now that Paro is getting close, and they're afraid of dying, suddenly they see Hashem in front of them. They're closer to the Rabbi Shalom than the Malach. Malach, get out of here. Go to the back. Go to the back of the class. The Yidden are in front of you. It's Meredith. We're first class. Meredith! So I'm getting a pencil for Azavort. Azavort! Azavort is a Kedushas lady. Second part from Kedushas lady. Yesaidis. The Archaim HaKosh has a Kasha. We know that the Mitzvah were drowned in Yamsuf. But you know, the Rabbi Shalom made the Yamsuf spit out the bodies of the Mitzvah. The Gemara Pesachim of Kuf Yud Ches, Amud Bey says that Hashem says, spit him out. This is the Gemara. The Yamsuf did not want to spit out the bodies of the Mitzrim until Hashem said, do it, spit it out. Come on, I want these bodies. Let them out. Correct the Heilige Kedushas Levi. Why did the Rebbe have to force the Yam to spit out the bodies? It's natural. Dead bodies always float to the surface. Dead men float. Do you ever do a dead man's float? The dead bodies float to the surface. So why did Rabbi Shimon have to force the Yam to spit them out? Dead bodies always go to the surface, and the waves cast these bodies onto the seashore. Right? And he said, the Pshat says, he says, Halakifi achush la'ayin and yam sevel the remes. The sea does not tolerate dead bodies. It spits them out. He says, what's the reason for that? Why talk is it azoy that the water always makes the dead man float? You know why? Because the water is alive and it hates dead things. So the earth, however, does accept dead bodies. When you bury somebody in the ground, it stays there, you know? We haven't seen too many people dancing around in the vision space manager across the street over there. We haven't seen too many popping out. It's not like, you know, they've chained down the people to their coffins. As the legs are in, they're there. They stay where they are. They don't move. So in the earth, the bodies stay. And in the water, the bodies don't stay. They get spit out. You know why? Pashat, he says. Because Misa came, death is really unnatural. Death really came to the world because of the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Avremele, right? The Eitz Hadas. It's not natural. So therefore, the water was not in the hand of an Eitz Hadas. The water was never cursed. God cursed the land. God says, Arur Adama. Because of the chait of the Eitz Hadas, Hashem cursed the earth, then cursed the water. So the water wants to have nothing to do with death. Death and the water don't shock to each other. The water wants nothing to do with the death, and therefore the water spits out dead bodies. The earth, however, was cursed, keeps in the dead bodies, because it was cursed, because the death becomes cause of the, death came because of Eitz Hadas. And the earth that gave out Eitz Hadas is cursed. So therefore dead bodies stay into the earth.
What time is the earth cursed?
Arur Adama. The earth was also cursed into the Chayt of the Rishon, right? And then it was cursed again by Kayin. It was cursed the second time after Kayin buried the Hevel. But Hashem cursed the earth. What?
You have to toil
also. But the earth sort of participated in the sin because it was the what gave, it brought out these fruits, it brought out this tree. So Shteitin Pasuk, what does it say? Shteitin Pasuk, Ulada Mamar, Kishamata Bekov the Kolishtech of Atechon Eitz Asher Tzivisich Lemar Lo Sechal Mimena, Arura Ho Adama Bavarecha. Because of you, you came from the earth, everything came from the earth, the whole earth is cursed because of you. So the earth is cursed from the Chait of Eitz Hadas, so therefore the earth has a Shachas to death, And therefore the earth covers up dead bodies. But the water has no shaykhah, so the water spits out dead bodies. That's by regular people. But when a Rasha dies, and a Rasha dies through a miracle, and you see clearly that the Rasha is being punished by Hashem, it comes out that the Rasha, listen to what he says, Rishayim b'chayim nekram mesim. The Rishayim are already dead while they're alive. But a Rasha who dies, and it's clear that he's a victim of Hashem's punishment, comes out he's better off dead than alive. The only good Rasha is a dead Rasha. When the Rasha dies, he actually has an aliyah. His neshama has an aliyah. So the Mitzvah who died because of the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf and then the Yamsuf going on top of them, right, was a big miracle. It was a big Kiddush Hashem. Comes out these Rishayim were not considered dead. They were considered alive. The Mitzrim, after the Kriyas Yamsuf, since they were part of the Mekadoshim Shemayim by their own death, comes out they really weren't considered dead. Because they were, while they're alive, they're dead. The Rasha is alive, he's dead. You know why? Because the Rasha is alive means to bring God alive in the world. Life means to bring the fact that there's a Kel Chai. Sama Nafshi L'Kel Chai, there's a living God. There's a God that's running the world. The Rasha calls man, he's alive, he denies God. So God's dead. He's dead. So to speak, he spends his life killing God. He kills any expression of God in his life. So therefore he's dead. Because you're only as alive, you're as alive as you are, you want to bring Hashem to life. The Rasha doesn't want to bring Hashem to life in his lifetime, he's dead. But as I rush like the Mitzrim, who with their death participated in the Nes, and their death was part of the big miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf, comes out they were worth more to God dead than alive. And therefore, the Yam says, oh, they're not dead, they're alive. I want to keep them. Kolman, they're really dead. Dead bodies, the sea doesn't like. Because the Yam, the sea in general, has nothing to do with death. They didn't participate in the original death of the Chet, of the Eitzadas. But, so therefore, dead bodies, it spits out. But living bodies, it's a fakir, it makes float. It keeps the living body, so to speak. So therefore, the Rabbi Shalana forced the Yam to spit out the bodies of the Mitzrim, because naturally speaking, the Yam would have kept these bodies. It wouldn't have spit them out, because they were living, not dead. Azoizok the Heilige, Kedusha's Levi, it's a friend for the Archaim's Kasha. It's a whole different way of talking about it. Ein lecha kiddush Hashem God and Mises Rishoyim, like Mitzrayim. Shai Deiz and his God, L'shmoya God of HaKadosh, Yodu HaKol, Ki Haboyer, Mechadosh Oilam. Through Kiyas Yamsuf, everybody saw it. So the Mitzrim were more alive when they were dead than when they were alive. Says that's Shad. They saw great things. The Mitzrim were kli, says. They were kli to show avodas Hashem, kedushas Hashem, koyach Hashem. And therefore the Yam didn't give them up so fast. Another shtickle. Okay, this shtickle I think is one of the classics of classics. The greatest of greats. I love it. In fact, the Hail Kedusha Levi, what's the pshat? Az Yashua Moshev Ne'ezroz Ashir Azos, Vayomru Leimor. Vayomru Leimor. And they said to say. What does it mean they said to say? Vayomru Leimor. What does that mean? Vayomru Leimor. What in the world does that mean? Vayomru Leimor. What does that mean? Zog the Kedusha Levi, Yisoid Godless, Yisoid and Kaltar Kula, my friends. This is a really, you're not going to find this anyplace else. I never saw this. What's the difference between Vayadaber and Vayomer? What's the difference between Dibur and Mimer? Very Yisoid is Dick. What's the difference between Dibur and Mimer? Raka, fine. Rashi says Vayadaber, but Zog the Ananda Tifavarta. It says not psukim. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor. What does that mean? Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor. What does it mean? You can fit in with that too a little bit with his mahalach. He says Vayedaber means it's a word that includes everything. In other words, we know that every single word of the Torah. Oy, we know what we're reading over here. We know that every word that comes out of their Banishlam has a million different interpretations. There's much more to a word than what we hear. Mashal. Let's look at light. You look at a ray of light, you know there's much more to the ray of light than meets the eye. If you refract the ray of light through a prism, you get all kinds of colors. from ultra red to ultraviolet, and other colors in the middle. Correct, Rav Gedalia? You can there's much. So all I see this light. I know there's much more to this light than meets the eye. It's poshut. Much more than everything. And I look at my watch. I know there's much more to my watch than meets the eye. If I would have a micro electron microscope, I could see cells of stainless steel. I'd see the cells, and I'd be able to see protons and mesons and electrons and quarks and all kinds of stuff going on here. But there's much more than meets the eye. Dibur means a word which is laden with all kinds of meaning. From the Dibur is the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. It's the lowest part of the word that is understandable to the lowest person, to the simplest person. So we're learning very deep things here tonight. The king of the shirt to everybody. If I'm going to learn Parash B'Shalach with somebody else, I'll learn B'Shalach. Once upon a time, there's a man named Moses. He has magic wand, and he waves his magic wand over the Red Sea, and lo and behold, the sea split. And we'll see in a second that's much deeper what happened to Yamsuf. You'll see in a second that it was much higher, much bigger, my dragas. But the little children, my little grandson, I'll say, in the sea split. Moshe Rabbeinu took his wand and said, "Woo!" And the wind came and blew the water away, and all the Egyptians got drowned. That's a simple story. We'll see a much deeper level than the higher madrigas, that Kriyas Yamsuf was the culmination of things happening in higher, 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 higher worlds, way beyond our comprehension. So Vayadaber means the saying over the word in its fullest, richest, most robust, most complete message. And Lamar means Vayadaber Shem Moshe Lamar means Hashem said to Moshe the Dibur, the whole thing. He said to Moshe, when he's speaking to the average little Jew, you can't tell them all the sides, Api Kabbalah, Api Zoya, Api Tikuni, Zoya, Api Kisvi Arizal, and Moshe Rabbeinu much more than Kisvi Arizal. Moshe Rabbeinu understood the Torah way beyond the Arizal. He didn't begin to fathom what Moshe to do with the Torah. So that's a pshat. As Yosha Moshe, they asked Rosh Yerzos, Vadinoi, Vayamru Lamar. When they said the story, they said it in the simplest possible way. The Yomer Lema means that even though there's big secrets in the Shira, what they said was the simplest way that every single Jew, even the lowest Jew in history, can understand what's going on. The Yomer Lema, say it over. So Oz Yashem Ajvenez Oz Yashira Oz, they said the Shira. But the actual words of the Shira, the Yomer Lema, they said it in a way that understandable to anybody. The Yomer Lema, anybody can understand the words. Now, with this Rabbi said, with this word, the Kedush Levi, you hear this. He's a married thing of art. Yes, anybody. Yes, then what it means? Vayom Lamer. What it means all the time? Vayadav Hashem Moshe Lamer. They want to know. Gvaltik. But with this Kiddush Levi, you can understand why it says, Basar Mamoris Nivra Olam. The veil was created with 10 Mamoris. And yet, even though the veil was created with 10 Mamoris, Lemaisa, by Harsina, we got Aseres Adibris. What is the difference between Asar Mamoris and Aseres Adibris? That's good for the Chilik. Asar Mamoris is the Pshat that Hashem, when he said the words of Debriya, he said the words in a way that pertained to the lowest, lowest, lowest thing in the world, because Hashem created everything from top to bottom. So Amira is the pshat to bring out everything to the lowest of low. So by Debriya, that's how it was. Hashem, it was Asar Mamoris. Hashem didn't have a Dibur. A Dibur means that there's still hidden things that weren't expressed yet. I'm saying a word, which has in this word very deep sides, things that are beyond human comprehension. I'm saying the word, and this word is full of all kinds of things. By the Bria Salam wasn't like that. It wasn't Hashem said things that were not actual. Every word that Hashem said, Kaviyachal, Hashem said Mamoris, the Mimer was openly manifested in the Olam of Bria. Hashem made it happen. In the Bria, in the Yetzira, in Asiya, Asiya means that everything came out. So a Mimer is a pshat that it's open. Everything is open. Everything Hashem wanted to say is open, and it's clear to the lowest of low. But by Aseres Adibris, that's exactly the chiluk. Hashem's only 10 dibris. Every dibra we know, Rav Sajigon says, that every single one of the 10 dibris had in it hundreds and hundreds of other mitzvahs, side the rice, side the rabbanon. And with the Aseres Adibris, you have tariyag mitzvahs, and the tariyag mitzvahs, you have tens of thousands of rabbanon. And Kol Torah Kula, Gan Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, everything in the world, Safra, Safri, Mechilta, everything you think of, Allah Medrashim, Allah Halachas, Allah Rishonim, Allah Achareinu, everything was there. So Aseres Adibur is the pshat. This is the hard drive. The Aseres Adibur Hashem said, Moshe said, Lo Sirtzuch. Lo Sirtzuch. That's a, Lo Sirtzuch is a Dibra. Dibra means it's a statement. In that statement, Lo Sirtzuch, it's how many letters? Lo, Lamed Vav. Sirtzuch is Tav Reish Tzadik, Lamed Aleph. Tav Reish Tzadik Ches. That's six letters. And these six letters, there's billions of halachas over here. Lo Sirtzuch, Likta Zoyfil Lo Sirtzuch. It's so much Lo Sirtzuch. But he said it, when the Rebbe Shlomo said it, it was Lo Sirtzuch. It was just a Dibra. Hashem didn't explain every word, so to speak, to everybody in Klai Yisrael. It was just this Dibra, unexplained, so to speak. It just licked the potential, the koyach of what's going to come out later on. Lo Sirtzuch, you're not supposed to mal bechaver barabim. Lo Sirtzuch is anderzach, to waste your time. Don't kill your time, don't kill people. It says, lick the sachzach, Lo Sirtzuch. So Lo Sirtzuch is licked in them one thing, and that's only a Dibra. But by the Kabriyas Olam, everything was actualized, came b'poil. Every single thing Hashem said came out b'poil. That's called a memra. That's essentially the word of the Kedushas Levi. Now, there's two more shtick. I'll tell you one. The other one is so big, I don't think I'll be able to explain it to you tonight. One more stay in the Kedushas Levi, and maybe we'll be able to get the shtickle more of a Shemesh too. Because we can't go over an hour. Zok the Kedushas Levi, yes, nach yisayt. Zokdush Levi, he explains the difference between Kriyas Yamsuf and every other nation in history. Again, it's a Tiffiyah site. It's good I know it. Although, again, it's not easy to understand. The way to understand it, I'll tell you first this site. We know that in the Torah HaKadosh, it's not printed in the Chumashim, in the Kitkin you would find it. In the Torah HaKadosh, every shira, especially Oz Yashir, the first shira, is written Ariach al Gabi Levena. Oz Yashir, al Pialoch, it's not even kosher, otherwise you have to write with spaces in the middle. It's not like a regular pasuk, which has, 30 letters in the pasuk, the Mishbechaisim, three times. You're supposed to have on every line big empty spaces. It's like bricks, just like bricks. You have two bricks like this, and on top is one brick. So too, you have two words over here, and on top is only one word, and on the two sides of the word on top is empty spaces. That's called a riach agav levena, a half a brick on top of two bricks. In other words, you have to, it's like a pyramid. There's no straight lines. In one line you have a word, a space, a word, a space, a word. So one line you have word, space, word, space, word. And the next line you'll have a couple of words, a space in the middle, which is underneath the word in the middle of the one on top of it, and then a couple of words. So you have a couple of words, space, words. So you have the line on top, the word on top is laying on top of two bigger words or bigger sections underneath it. It's like bricks. You have one brick on top of two bricks, and two bricks on top of one brick. That's a riach al gabi levena. A brick, a half a brick on top of a full brick. The riach al gabi levena essentially means is that you have big spaces. Vosepes is a shir has to be written with big spaces in the middle. No straight lines. Nishkein full of lines. Empty spaces. Vosepes, empty spaces. Zog, the Hedgish Levi, the reason is, especially by here, and you have to work on it to understand other shiras as well. Bemis says, shiras azinu is also spelled, is done differently. Shiras azinu, the marshal, the next shir in the Torah. So you have a column, and a column of words, and the middle is empty in Gansen. It's different. It's a different kind of a way it's set up over there. Madaf Hashtang, how, why, I once upset Ashil Hezber in that. But let's take the way he says over here. He says, by Shiras Hayam, it's a Riach Agabe Levena. And why is that so? Because you should know, there's two ways where Hashem can make a Nes. One way is that the Bria essentially remains the same world. The world is the same world. Just a bunch of mixes things up. So, the Marshal, Makas Tzvardeya. Tzvardeya left frogs. Same old frogs. There's other frogs, or bullfrogs, and this kind of frogs. There's a lot of frogs in the world. So the Rebbe Shlomo took the frogs to some place. Let's say Arba. Let's invest Arba. Arba. Locusts. They attacked Mitzrayim. Hashem didn't make any locusts. The same old locusts that were the Gansa Bria. Hashem just decided to bring them all to Mitzrayim. That's all. Took a wind. The wind's blowing here, blowing there. Against the wind, they all come from, they come from one, he gets them all together in one place. And then with Dane Shost, the Rebbeinu brings jillions, billions, countless of Arba to Mitzrayim. And the end, Hashem takes the wind and blows down Mitzrayim. Nothing new. It's just the Rebbeinu Shlom rearranged nature a little bit, that in one shot, she gets some Mitzrayim there. Show me Arba. Which congregates the Zachar. I'm not going to do the other Nisa. That's how it worked essentially. Tzvadeya Zazoy, Oro. A lot of animals. So, you don't have polar bears in Mitzrayim. Yeah, there has not been a polar bear sighing in Mitzrayim since 3,500 years ago. No polar bears. No polar bears. No, Nishda Zazach. No, it doesn't happen. But by Makas Orav, Hashem took the polar bears from the North Pole and made it come to Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim, there's no, maybe there's no elephants, maybe. I don't know what those, they didn't have it all, that's for sure not. Maybe there's no giraffes naturally. Giraffes are in the south of lower Africa. They all came to Mitzrayim in one shot. Grizzly bears, boiler bears, these animals are no shakas in Mitzrayim necessarily. Orangutans don't grow in Mitzrayim. They didn't make a new orangutan. They just took the orangutans and put them all in Mitzrayim. One big zoo. Pandas only grow in China. Zingaling and Chuk Chuk Chuk. There's two famous pandas, Linga Ching and Pumpa Chuk. And Pingo Pingo Pango. And he takes them from China, and he brings them to Mitzrayim. This is Elba pandas. But Hashem just put them together. Kriyas Yamzishas. Kriyas Yamzishas is the Echdis, the Shtik of Kedush Levi's pass for the Moranayim. The Ganze Moranayim we learn every week is was, is that the Ganze Bria comes from the Oisis HaTayr. If you want to know Hashem created the world, Hashem created the world through the Oisis HaTayr. In other words, the Marshal. So if you need a shot, You need a shot. Person has to go to the doctor to get a shot. How do you get a shot? The doctor wants to give you some medicine. What am I going to put in you? It's not good orally. Nah, that doesn't work orally. We got to give you a good shot, cortisone shot. Nah, order doesn't work. It's your stomach. Nah, this is good. The way is, we take a hypodermic needle and we aim it. The hypodermic puts a little bit of this medicine. Aim it, put it in the place where you need it, and goes right there, just exactly what you need, exact amount of the hypodermic needle, a gemostin to the middle, whatever is amount, and Azoy does. So to the Rebbeinu Shlom, they want to make the Bria. Rebbeinu Shlom was so big, Ein Seif. So Rebbeinu Shlom, every ice of the Torah, every ice, and the Tzrufi ice, yes, every ice is like a hypodermic needle, so to speak, Kaviyachal. And Hashem put in a little bit of his bracha and his shefa Ein Seif into this little needle called a letter of the Torah, and he aimed it exactly in this place. So the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted a tree to come into this place. Hashem put the needle through the ice of a Torah from an ayin. You notice that the ayin and tzadi look like tree branches. An ayin like this. And the tzadi also comes out like this. You look at the ayin and the tzadi, especially b'ksav mashita. But yeah, eights, the word eights. Eights, look at eights. Eights, mamash, the ayin has two has a trunk and it has two branches coming out of it. And the tzadi seifis also like that. There's a trunk and two branches coming out of it. They mamish look like trees. Eights. Look at it. You'll see. So the Rebbeinu Shlom used these letters to make. Hashem didn't stop say he eights. Hashem didn't say Yatache or his Desha. It went through the letter Dalit of Desha. Hashem created the Desha. Hashem created the grass by putting the Shefa of grass in the letter Dalit and the letter Shin and the letter Aleph of Desha. Hashem created Desha. And Esav, he made an ayin, and a sin, and a base, and Zoyas had to go through the letters of the Torah. So by Kriyas Yamsuf, so Hashem wanted to create the Yam, Hashem said, Yam, okay, you cover Mayim, let's be Mayim. Mem, Yud, Mem, Hashem, we put the water, first he made water, then Hashem put the water in one place, made a mikvah Mayim, mikvah Mayim, kor Yamim, Hashem made a Yam, how to make a Yam? Yud, Mem, Sofis, Hashem created Yamim, through the Oisis Yamim. How's your Yamsuf? Yamsuf? By Kriyas Yamsuf, it could have happened like this. Hashem could take a big wind, and he makes a tsunami, and he gives a blow, and that's what, you know, the Kaifer will say, that's what happened, Taka. Kaifer says, there's no miracle. It was a tidal wave. It's a tsunami. It just happened to be the Jews were standing there at the right time. They were very, Moshe was a smart guy, he was a big astronomer. He knew he was an astrologer, he knew that was going to happen. He's a big weather, he would listen to the weather reports. He was a big meteorologist, he knew there'd be a big wind. And the wind came, pinked exactly the right time when they needed the wind, and the wind came and blew the whole thing apart, and it just blew the waters apart. And you know, it could have been like that. Hashem could have done it that way, Taka. And like the Sefer Chinuch says, Hashem is, there was a wind. There's actually in the buzz there was a wind. But Hashem only did that, says the Sefer HaChinuch, Hashem is always malbish every miracle and a little bit of nature, otherwise the miracle would be so clear that you couldn't be kaifer biker anymore. Hashem has to give you a little bechira, and he has some free choice. So every miracle has to be malubish in something teva that you could think it's otherwise. So here Tak Hashem blew a wind. Avalamaisa, it wouldn't happen like that. What really happened was that Hashem went to the Torah and he took out the letter Yud, Mem, Yud, Mem. He took out the letters with which he created Yamsuf, and it's Ois Yamsuf. He mamish, it's like Toiv Avayu. The Yamsuf, the Yabosha of the Yamsuf, was Ois a sea. It like there was never a sea there. There's no sea. Gone. That's why temporarily Hashem blew the water out of the way. And the sea remains a sea. I really the sea bed. And there should be water over there. No. Hashem took the letters and he took them back, put them back to Shemayim. That's why he says it's called Yam Suf, Lashon Soif. Hashem went biz the Soif. It was the end of the Yam. Yam Suf means Lashon Yam Soif. It's geendigt. It's Ois Yam Soif. Big sign. Here, Adkan. Adkan, Vesulai. The Bria of the Yam stopped here. There's no Yam over here. And actually, I don't think he says this. I looked at it. That Mamash very beautiful shot in the words in the Torah. Because this is what it says in the Torah. But, you know, I'm sure your Mamash Sedra. And what does it say in the Torah? State in Pasuk. So Hashem blew the wind the whole night. And Hashem made the Yam to dry land. The water split. Huh? It should be the opposite. It should say, the water split. And then, Hashem made the yam dry. Huh? This is my message. What's the shot? So Hashem made the wind. The wind the whole night was a cover-up job. Fine. But Pasuk Perek Yudal Pasuk Kavalev. And from the wind blowing, Hashem made the yam into dry land. And the water split. It couldn't have been dry land if the water was still there. So why does it say Hashem made a charav, and then the water split? It should say, and then made a charav. But that is not to tell you. It's not what worked. It worked was, like the Kedush lady says, Hashem made the yam into dry land by taking the Isis away. And then talking the water split. But when it says means in Shemayim he made the charava. Hashem went to the source of the Yam, the Isis of Yam, took him away, and changed the whole nature. The ganze bria changed. Hashem made a charava, and what was the manifestation down here? The source of it all happening in Shemayim. Hashem decided that it's Ois Yam. He changed the nature of the whole bria. There's no more Yam over here. The letters don't belong over here. The letters Yam don't belong over here. It became a charava in Shemayim, where the letters start from the Shirish. They said, Yam, Soif, it's over. And therefore, Bakamai, the word split down here. It's the Baalik of the Pasuk. So Mela's up to Heilige Kedushas Levi. Now you understand why. By the Shira, you have empty spaces and then you have letters. Why? To show you that the Nase happened. You know why there's empty space? You know why there's no water anymore in the Yamsuf? You know why it was by the Charava? Because there's no Moisius. The way the Shira is written gives us the secret of how the Nase happened. By taking the Isis away like they didn't belong here anymore. Like with the empty spaces in the Torah, that's how the empty spaces in Shemayim, in the Torah in Shemayim, Hashem took the letters away. The letters that make Yam over here, Ois, Charava, Hashem cleared out those letters. Not here anymore, it's empty space. That's why it's empty in the Yamsuf. The Yamsuf is empty because the Torah is empty. The reason why the Yamsuf has no water anymore because it's Saif, it's the end of the Yam. It came to an end. You know why? Because the letters aren't here anymore. And that's why there's somebody. I said, how many spaces does Taka get inside a chicken? I wonder how many spaces there are. You know, if you learn enough Torah, we'd know a lot of things. Now you go back and you figure it out how many spaces there are. I have a homework project, you know, Dick a Tikkun. You look to figure out how many spaces there are. There must be some remnants over there. You can figure out how many Oisias should be there. You can spend yourself a whole project why it's like that. And again, you have to understand a lot of things like that. You know, Shira Sazina is written differently. There's a column empty in the middle. I was saying, there it's a different Shira. It's not a Riech HaGabal Leveina. Even though the Gemara says, Kol Shira has to be a Riech HaGabal Leveina. Shira's Devoira is Dr. Chariel HaGabal Leveina. You have to go through all the shiras and understand how it works, everything. It's very interesting. Nishpashin. But this is the Yisoid of Kedushas Levi. The empty spaces is because the letters are gone. It's the Yam Soif. Azay Zokhtev. He says, the pshat is, Nimtza Bekriyas Yam Soif, Nigzer Lekzorim, Venifkam Vnei Bnei Yisrael. Nishava Adorim Mikoya Shechozer Achiyah Shebiyam L'Sharoshoi. L'mekor HaKol Nevir D'chaye. The reason why the Kriyas Yam is down here is because the Oisius and the Chiyas of the Yam is the Oisius, the whole vitality and the life of the Yam comes from its Oisius, and they went back to Shemayim, like not here anymore. Ois. At the Chazar, it went back to the Shirish. The Mela Nivka, Kishar, Kinisha, Belishim Chiyas. He Kamat says, my Diak in the Pasuk, he doesn't say it though. He doesn't say Shtel and Shtel. He says, the Mela Nivka Yam, he doesn't Shtel, I'm telling you, I don't see the Shtels on this. The discrepancy in the way the pasuk is written. It's kavaltic. First, he made the charava with the Isis. A mela, yibakam mayim. There's no mayim anymore. Yeah. That's right, Yamsuf. And that's why the shir is a riach agabal aveina, because the chias is the or of the Isis. And the Isis heim chias shall kala yamim. The chias Yamsuf, the Isis went to the shirish. Chazra Isis of Shirasham, Nisha Yam Beloy Chiyas, a bottle of Mitzias. The main is empty spaces in the Tires. There's ice. There's no more Chiyas. The Yam is not here anymore. It's gone, finished. I call Chazra Shirashi. This is what it's all about. So the question is, why did the Rabban Shalom make it that way? Why did the Rabban Shalom make this special nace, more than the other nace, that the Yam disappeared? It's like it never was created. It was before Maisa Bereishis. Perhaps the pshat's like this. The pshat is because we find by Kabbalah's Torah itself, Gemara about the Zohar Daf Hey, Gemara says that Yom HaShishi says in Briyas Olam, Yom HaShishi, the sixth day. Gemara says it doesn't mean Yom Shishi, the sixth day of the 6 days of creation, the first 6 days, the first Yom Shishi. It means Yom HaShishi, Vayechul HaShemai V'aretz, on the sixth day, the specially designated sixth day, then the creation of heaven and earth really stopped and was completed. Which sixth day is that? The sixth day of the month of Sivan, in the year 2448, when in that month, on that day, Klaus was Makabal Torah. Hashem made a tonight with Maisa Bereishis. He said, if the Yidna Makabal Torah 2448 years from now, on the sixth day of Sivan, Mutav, that's good, then the world can continue. If they're not Makabal Torah, then the world will go back to Toiva Vaya, the world will go back to chaos. So you see that Hashem made a tonight, a condition, with the whole Bereishis, the whole world of creation, that everything depends on Kabbalah's Torah. We find only in one other place where there's such a similar tonight. Very interesting. It says here by the Yam. It says, Lefnais Biker, that before dawn, right, the Yam went back, Le'esono. The Rabban Shalom split the Yamsuf. There were walls of water. Klai Yisrael went through beautifully, safely, unharmed. The minute the Mitzrim came back, the Mitzrim came forth, I should say, and went chasing after Klai Yisrael. So Hashem commanded it, and the waters went back, Le'esano, the water went back, Le'esano, went back to its original strength. Chazal said the word Le'esano, you can transpose the letters to read Le'tno'o. You can read the word Le'tno'o HaRishon, the original Tanai, the original condition. That the Rabban Shalom originally made a condition with the water, with the sea, that it should always remain a sea, except that you split for Klai Yisrael, and it should go back and flood over and drown the Mitzrayim. Once again, we have a Tanai program, the condition programmed in the Maisa Bereishis, albeit over here it's not for the whole Maisa Bereishis, it's only for the Yam, a very significant portion, but it's only part. There must be some relationship between this Tanai and the Tanai that Hashem made with the whole Maisa Bereishis. And I think that's exactly the point. The point is that Hashem told the sea in the first place, I'm making you into a sea, into a yam. But recognize that you're part of Bereishis, and you must allow Klai Yisrael to get across the yam in order to get to Har Sinai 6 weeks later so they can makabel the Torah. Because you have to know that I made a Tanai with all of my Bereishis, that if the Yidden are not makabel the Torah on Yom HaShishi, on the sixth day of Sivan, if they don't accept the Torah, the whole world will collapse, and the whole world will be destroyed, the whole Bereishis is gone. Therefore, I'm making a tie with you that you should not interfere. And you should allow Klai Yisrael to continue unscathed and unhindered by the Mitzrayim. Let them through so they can makabel the Torah, or else the whole world is going to be a Churban. And you'll be a Churban too. So therefore, Hashem had a tie with the Yam that they must let Klai Yisrael through to makabel the Torah so that the tie with the whole Bria should be fulfilled. That's exactly why here, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem didn't merely just open the waters of the Yamsuf. Hashem literally transformed the seabed into dry land, into Harava. It's like a desert. It's not considered a Yam anymore. It's not a temporary drought that merely the water is not here. A temporary dry out. It was as if there's no Yam over here. Hashem took the letters back with which He created the Yam, to show that the whole Bria depends on Klai Yisrael getting through the water. The reason why here the whole Bria, the whole creation of the Yam was suspended, was to show that all of creation depends on the Yam fulfilling its condition, so that Hashem will fulfill His condition with the entire Bria 6 weeks later by Kabbalah Zotayra. So in order to dramatize and emphasize that the whole Bria depends on Klai Yisrael getting through, that's why over here the Bria of the Yam was suspended. This, I believe, can be Bez Hashem Pshat in the Kedushas Levi. With this, we will conclude.